Hello, everybody, and welcome to the sixth episode of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista here with Kyle Keegan, and we had a very, very fun weekend, you could say.
It was eventful. That's a better word. Oh boy.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh, so boy. The roller coaster of emotions that both Kyle and I went through these past few days have been kind of mind-blowing, to be honest.
Okay, say what you want about Yankees fans and how spoiled we are. I feel like this is proof that we go through a lot too.
You don't get to say that right now.
That was not easy to watch at all.
God.
That was not easy to watch, but I'm sure I feel like you should talk a little bit first.
Okay, so no. Let's start it off. Let's kind of give a recap. So the last time that we recorded, the Yankees-Mets had the postponed Subway Series because the Mets had their COVID, whatever. The Yankees were on, at that point, a three-game losing streak, and then they proceeded to drop two more to the Braves. So now they're on a five-game losing streak going into the series. The Mets came back from their postponed, whatever, after not being able to play the last game against the Marlins, start up the new series against the Marlins, and they dropped the first two. I believe there were both scoreless games where the Mets weren't able to get anything on the board. Third game, they won by one.
They got shut out, I think.
Yeah, they got shut out 4-0 and 3-0. Mm-hmm. The last game, they won by 1 point, I'm pretty sure. And then the fourth game, they weren't able to play because of the boycott. So going into this Subway Series, both teams kind of were on shaky starts. I mean, the Yankees were in a
not
worse
ideal
position.
At all.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Ideal.
The Yankees were in a worse position than the Mets at the time. The Mets were kind of going into it with a little bit of momentum, but regardless, not a very good spot for both teams.
One thing I want to say before we get into the series, before we get into the Subway Series, and I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, beautiful display by the New York Mets and the Miami Marlins on Thursday night. It seemed like they were going to play, but then they stood outside the dugout for 42 seconds in honor of Jackie Robinson and racial injustice in this country. And personally, I thought it was a beautiful, moving statement. I loved it a lot.
Yeah, and then with that and then going on, it's just with the boycott, I think that with the whole Rody Von Wagenen situation, that was not a very good look for the Mets because he kind of blamed it on Manfred and like this whole the whole situation with that. Going with Rody Von Wagenen and pretty much tearing Manfred apart for his idea and how it's not a good idea to like he pretty much only cared about the money. And then he had to come out and apologize after because it wasn't Manfred's idea. It was actually the Wilpons' idea, which does not look very good for this Mets organization.
Speaking of the Wilpons.
Yeah. That's actually a very good topic right now. A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez are out of the running. Steve Cohen's looking to make his final push to buy the Mets. And
yay.
Yeah, it's about time. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I'm trying to make you feel better a little bit right now.
No, it's not going to work. Right. Whatever you try right now is going to make me feel better, but it's about damn time. That's all I got to say. I mean, hopefully this happens sooner rather than later. I don't want talks to fall through again like they have been for the past how many years, but regardless.
Well, let's talk about Friday. We were heading into Friday.
Okay, so Friday was the first game of the Subway Series, right? Yeah.
Yes, the first two.
They had the doubleheader.
By the way, all five of the games were played in Yankee Stadium, which made me just lose my mind on Friday. But
okay, so first game starts off, and I was at work when this was happening. So
I was playing pickup basketball with my friends. I didn't catch most of the first game on Friday.
First two inning, Yankees go up 4-0. It looks like it's going to be a bit of a, let's say, not upset, but the Yankees weren't favored to win this game because of all the injuries that were happening and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it just didn't look great for the Yankees, but then all of a sudden they came out. Also, before I get into that, Aaron Judge, I mean, I'm not saying that he's injury prone, but it's not a good look for him.
You guys can't see this. I'm shaking my head right now. I think I said this in our group chat, Anthony. Like, for the time being, I love Aaron Judge with all my heart. I'm not going to defend him right now because this injury stuff is really just kind of driving me off the rails right now. And I, I, I can't bring myself to be defending him at this time.
Because so, at first, it looked like it was just a string of bad luck, string of different injuries that kept kind of sidelining him. But now it's I think it's happening too often for it to just be a string of coincidences.
You can't say that you're 100% and then go out and get injured the next, like, first game you play back. Like, that just shows, like, there's a problem there.
Yeah, and maybe it's that they put him out too early. Maybe it's that he kind of forced his way into the lineup when she should have kind of rehabbed a little bit more. But, it's not a good look for him whatsoever.
Dude, it's ridiculous, man. It's just ridiculous. I mean, some good news on the injury front for the Yankees is that it looks like Britton's coming back soon. The Urshela thing was just day-to-day. DJ's back. But that Judge thing, man, it sucks. It really does suck. So, yeah. I just want to see him play. That's all.
I get that.
Like, I just want to watch him play baseball. I love watching him play baseball. So, it sucks. But, yeah. Friday, 4-0.
Yeah, going back into the game. 4-0 at the beginning. It's scoreless inning 3 and 4. Mets score one inning in the fifth one.
On a Gary Sanchez pass ball, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Yeah, Gary Sanchez. We'll talk about him, but.
And then the sixth inning. Oh, boy. That was fun to watch. I'm not going to lie.
Chad Green, bro.
Woo.
Chad Green. What, Alonzo hit a three-run homer, right?
Alonzo hit the three-run homer, and then they got two other runs in.
Smith and Marisnick. Smith has been mashing lately.
100%.
Smith has looked good.
Silver lining for this
Mets
team.
He killed the Yankees all weekend long.
Yes,
he did. He's looked very good.
So nice to see that happening. I mean, just the fact that there's young talent with this team right now. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I really not expected to see, but like I didn't see Smith as like a very big kind of powerhouse per se. I didn't see him as this guy that's gonna like have that kind of impact on a team. I didn't know an insane amount about him before this week, but mm-hmm. just the fact that he's been able to have this impact on this team.
He's leading the Mets in RBIs right now and home runs, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, going into the season, I had no clue who he was. So, the fact that – and that's also me not knowing as much baseball as I probably should, but
– No, you're getting there, man. You're getting
regardless,
there.
Yeah, it was nice to see that kind of happen. So, the Mets have 5 runs there, and then it's scoreless for the rest of the game for inning 7. Final score 6-4.
Yeah, so, all right, I'll give my thoughts on Friday afternoon's game. To that point, Friday at like 5 p.m. or whenever the game ended, I was like, well, this is the low point in the year. We've lost 6 in a row. We blew a 4-run lead in the 6th inning with Chad Green, who's been our best pitcher so far in the year, on the mound. And I don't know how you can find any way to lose a game worse than that. That was my thought initially. So that'll bring us into Friday night's game.
Friday night.
So, So right now the Yankees are on a 6-game losing streak at that point.
So from there, then goes into the second game. Mets score one run in the first inning.
On a Dom Smith double. Yeah.
That's right. And then with that, it goes into the Yankees scoring 3 runs in one inning.
Yeah.
I think it was
small ball, too. It was all like singles and walks.
Exactly. It was nothing any big. And then from that, it just kind of seemed like a good, fair game. There wasn't really a clear-cut winner at that point.
Good pitcher matchup. I think the Yankees had a bullpen game going. I don't remember who the Mets had out there, but I know the Yankees had like – they were kind of just pulling like whatever long relievers they could out of their ass at that point.
That's fair. And then from there, it kind of was just going back and forth, 3-1 for most of the game. End of the fifth inning, the Mets scored one. And then in comes the seventh inning, final inning.
Yeah. So in the bottom of the seventh inning – I feel like someone drew a walk, right?
I believe so, yes.
I know that Billy Hamilton ended up pinch running, but I want to say someone drew a walk. And then Aroldis Chapman picks off Billy Hamilton, but he's so freaking fast that he made it to second base anyway.
So fast.
Dude, like, if that guy could even, like, hit a little bit, you know how
– Oh, my God. He would be insane.
Absolutely. He's like one of the fastest players, maybe since like Ricky Henderson in like MLB history. Like, I'm probably forgetting some obvious choices, but like the guy is just Dude.
He's extremely fast.
Like a running back in the NFL. It's nutty. And like.
He's got the Deion Sanders type build as well.
Yeah, totally. But too bad he's batting like 050. Did he get hurt? I don't remember him playing today.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think I did either. I think he may have just been out, like sitting out.
I didn't catch
out,
every inning of all the games. But
yeah, I was on the train today, so I didn't see it in person. But from when I was looking at the stats before and stuff like that, I don't remember seeing him. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah.
But regardless, that game ended in a Mr. Ahmed Rosario, my absolute hero on Friday. Rosario walk off in the bottom of the seventh, 2-run winning.
Dude, Ahmed Rosario, you know how, dude, like on Friday night, Ant saw this on my private story. I was losing my mind.
Yes, sir.
I was completely just like losing. To get walked off in your own house by the Mets.
So sad.
Is just, must if be you're a Yankees so fan, like, you know, like that is as embarrassing as it gets. And that was like Chapman's first outing in like 11 days. And okay, so at this point, I think the Yankees were down 5 in the East. And we're not even going to talk about the AL East standings right now, because the Yankees probably aren't going to win the AL East. Like,
The Rays have been
red hot. We're 3.5 behind now. We have the Rays this week, which sucks, but we'll get to that later. So get walked off in your own house. You get swept in a doubleheader in Yankee Stadium. You've lost 7 in a row. You've blown a lead in 3 straight games. That, I want to hopefully say, I hope I'm right about this, I feel like that will be the low point in the Yankee season.
You really think?
I don't know. Hopefully they turn the ball around a little bit. Like, dude, they sucked on Friday.
Yeah, they did not have a very good display of effort right there. Friday, as a Met fan, was so nice to see.
And Steve Cohen bought the Mets on Friday. Let's talk about that a little bit.
That's
really good. No, that's
See, here's the thing. I know right now it's kind of like official, but not official. I'm still scared that it's not going to go through.
Yeah, well, obviously you have that internal pessimism, but like, the guy's got a net worth of $14 billion.
Oh, 100%. It's not a point of money. I just feel like there's going to be some sort of drama with the Wilpons that's going to prevent him from having it.
Here's the thing about Steve Cohen, and I'm not saying this just to make you feel better, and, like, Yankees fans won't like me saying this, but, like, I don't hate the Mets. Like, we've talked about this before. Yeah. Like, I'm not like most people. Like, most Yankees fans, like, hate the Mets, but the prospect of Steve Cohen as an owner gives the Yankees the challenge of like bringing in free agents in New York, because like the Wilpons won't spend money.
No,
and this guy is going to come in, a lifelong Mets fan, and just start dropping all the cash on these like guys like JT Realmuto or Lindor or something like that.
Just
like,
solid players that this team can benefit from, which hasn't really been
feel, like,
the story recently. Thing,
like with Van Wagenen. Like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's something to be excited about. I don't know. I feel like it is.
I think so, too. I think having no Wilpons in anywhere near Citi Field is going to be very beneficial for the Mets. So,
next
Friday was a very good night. Friday was a very, very good night in that sense, where the Mets won both games and the news about Cohen kind of spread around. And then
Mets got 3 wins on Friday. That's what Twitter was saying, at least, because Twitter was
exactly
up my ass after that game.
And then let's move on now to Saturday. Saturday was
the only 9-inning game of the weekend.
That's true.
The only real baseball game of the weekend. Dude, 2020 is so weird. Okay. So
that Shane game was
not the start for the Yankees.
Yeah.
He was incredible. I don't like J. Happ at all. He was really good.
He was. He had such a good game. I mean, just that entire game was, I wouldn't say boring per se, but there was no offense.
So like Luke Voit homered in the bottom of the first to give the Yankees a 1-0 lead.
And then after that, there was nothing.
Just stuck. Yeah, that just kind of stuck. And then, in the top of the eighth, J. Happ, 90 pitches, 7 1/3, no walks, 5 Ks, getting a bunch of ground balls. Just looked good. He just looked good. It was the best he's looked in a Yankees uniform, and I say that in full confidence. So
then Wilson Ramos comes in.
Wilson Ramos hits a towering fly ball that I was willing with all my might foul, and it I think it was like the third pitch Adam Ottavino threw, and off the foul pole, gone 1-1. And my thought right there is, wow, they're really gonna. This is gonna be the fourth day in a row when the Yankees bullpen blows a lead in the second to last inning or later. And that's crazy because I feel like most Yankees fans would agree with me on this. Their biggest strength is that they have a strong bullpen. I get that Canley's out for the year. I get that Britton's out right now. But I feel like the goal, if you're a Yankees fan, is you hand the ball off
to Ottavino or Chapman. Ottavino,
Green, and Chapman. And that should be the game, hypothetically, every time. But to do that four times in a row and then them not win is just – That would be blowing it to like proportions that Yankees fans haven't seen in a while.
No, 100%.
Lost 8 games in a row in 25 years, and they were on that doorstep on Saturday afternoon, and it was just not. It wasn't good. It was bad time. So yeah, Ottavino gives up a home run to Ramos. Who started that game on Saturday for the Mets? I'm gonna check. Do you know?
Was it Matt? No.
No.
Yes. No. He came in. He came in for an inning.
No, that wasn't Max.
Zellman.
It was just Zellman. You're right.
Zellman. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was pretty good.
I think he only pitched four. Yeah. I think it was either three or four. But yeah. And then
the Mets bullpen was just depleted by today.
Oh my god!
They used so many guys yesterday, and then to have a double header today, like.
Well, yeah. So the game yesterday, Betances.
He was on the IL now, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Betances is on the IL now.
I think he
former
is,
Yankee,
yeah.
By the way.
Former Walked Yankee, the giving them the win. Just the way that game ended was so heartbreaking. Just because, like, it
just
wasn't.
Just when it looked like the Mets were turning the corner.
100%. I thought that was going to go into actual extra innings, like double-digit innings, not yeah, just going into the eighth. So, and then how do you lose on a wild pitch? Like.
I've seen it before, but...
Oh, no, I've seen it before, too, but it's just so disappointing. Like,
yeah, okay, so here's how the inning went. Frazier walked. I want to say Gardner, like, struck out. I'm pretty sure it was Gardner. Jordy Mercer, who was a Yankee, apparently. I'm shaking my head right now because it's just crazy. So Jordy Mercer gets a bloop single to right down the line, puts... Frazier on third. So and fun. This is a pivotal part in the Yankee season right here. Boone lets Eric Kratz hit with runners on first and third and one out in a tie game in the bottom of the ninth. He doesn't pinch hit Gary Sanchez. And I have been very adamant in my I'm disdain. Trying to think of the right word to use. It's
disdain.
Not hate. What?
Disdain.
Yeah, that's a good word. Disdain towards Gary Sanchez so far this season. So I was like, okay, good. Eric Kratz, he'll hit a sac fly, we'll win. So on 1-0, he lays down a bunt motion for like a suicide squeeze. And this freaks out Betances apparently, and he airmails one 4 feet over Ramos to the backstop. Frazier scores. Yankees finally win a baseball game, 2-1. And yeah, that's a brutal way to lose a hockey on my iPad to lose a baseball game if you're the New York Mets.
You're not losing in that sense. You're not losing on a real play. Like, obviously, it's a real play.
You're losing on your own mistakes, and that makes it worse.
Yeah, the ball's not being hit. That's pretty much all it is. Like, if you're going to lose on a sac fly, you're going to lose on a sac fly. Just having the ball thrown over your head and then having the runner from third just advance, where's the fun in that?
I mean, I thought it was fun.
Oh yeah, you thought it was fun, of course. But
I know you saw the video. We're not gonna play it because there's too much profanity. But
no.
After each Yankees win this weekend, I felt so high. I felt so high on my high horse that I played New York.
I thought that the Mets should have won that game. Out of all the games that they've played
Mets lost
today and yesterday, I thought that game was in their hands.
The Yankees, all three games that the Yankees lost this weekend, less so the last one, but I feel like this afternoon's game and yesterday afternoon's game, the Yankees played really, really bad and won anyway. And yeah, it just – they're death by their own mistakes. And then they won it. I mean, it was just – the best way to describe it is just it was a very Metsy loss. I don't
Oh, yeah, no.
Describe without being a jerk.
No, there's no other way to put it. It's that's such a Mets thing to happen.
Yeah. So,
Saturday night.
Yankees finally win. No game Saturday night. No game. We got to relax. Sunday afternoon. This was probably my favorite game all
day. No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Enough.
Yes. I don't even remember who started for the Yankees. Michael King. Okay. So the Yankees scored in the first inning on a Mike Tauchman ground out. They had runners on second and third, no one out, and only scored one run. I want to get out of the way before we talk about these last two games.
I don't want to talk
about Aaron Hicks and Gary Sanchez. I have done nothing but criticize them all season long. I haven't given them any credit for any good thing they've done because I'm like, okay, they're never clutch. They hit all these home runs when it's like not – we're either down by a lot or up by a lot. It just feels like nothing they've done so far this year has been important. Okay? That was my thought going into Sunday. And if you look at my tweets, you will see that that's exactly what I was thinking. So, okay. It's 1-0. King is dealing. I think in the fourth inning – the Mets – did you watch both games today or only the afternoon one? I forgot.
I only watched the afternoon one. I was just following on my phone for the first one.
Okay. So, the Mets got like 5 or 6 singles in the top of the fourth inning. I feel like a lot of the balls were like softly hit. So, like, Michael King, I'm going to look up a stat line. It didn't look as good as how well I thought he pitched. I thought Michael King was really, really good today. And his stat line wasn't indicative of that. 3 2/3, 6 hits, 2 earned, 3 Ks, 1 walk. But I feel like maybe 4 or 5 of those hits were soft hits, and that's what you want out of a pitcher.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Mike King looked good, but he gave up 2 runs. So the Mets scored 2 runs in the top of the fourth. Mike Ford hits an RBI double in the bottom half. And now it's 2-2 going to the fifth. Now, these last 3 innings are the biggest soap opera of Yankees-Mets baseball we've had in a while.
Like, no, I think about this game and I just place it in with the other disappointing losses that I've seen throughout the year from – not even this year, like throughout the years, plural, with just all the New York sports teams that have been heartbreaking losses. Those kind of things. I mean, I can remember the Jets week 2 game against the Packers. I could remember just plenty of other Mets and Jets and Knicks stories, but this is definitely one of them.
Ew, Knicks.
Ew. Shut up.
We talked so much about the Knicks last week that we probably should take a week off from the Knicks.
Well, we've got plenty to talk about this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so,
former Yankee killer, 2,600 hits today on this, 2-run dinger, Robinson Cano, laser beam into the short porch, 4-2 Mets. Then in the top half of the fifth, Conforto with a double down the line, and then an Alonso hit by pitcher, the bases loaded, makes it 7-2.
Looking great. Sixth. Looking absolutely great. And then we go into the seventh inning, Mets don't score, and then Mr. Edwin Diaz.
No. First, right, okay, yeah, Mr. That's... Crazy Eyes, Jared Hughes.
Jared Hughes, yes.
Jared Hughes was not that good. Actually, no, I take that back. The Mets lost this game themselves. Mike Ford grounded to short. I think Andrés Giménez threw it straight into the dirt. And I think it was Alonso at first at the time, couldn't make the pick. And just like that, it's runner on first. Then the Yankees make 2 quick outs. Tyler Wade works a walk. Tyro Estrada hit by pitch. And a Luke Voit. This is an underrated play in the game. Luke Voit, check swing, grounder towards second. They're shifting, so it goes in the right field for a single. Tyro Estrada goes first to third, and he was a dead duck. Conforto's throw to third beat him by 10 feet, and Giménez on the tag dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And the inning continues, and now the tying run, Aaron Hicks comes up. Mm-hmm. So Tyro Estrada, whose run doesn't matter because he's not the tying run and it's the last inning and we're down to our last out, almost makes the last out not sliding on a first to third play. And I would have lost my mind had Andrés Giménez not dropped that ball somehow on the tag. That was just ridiculous. Like, that's Little League stuff. So that's the second error he makes in the inning. And then Edwin Diaz comes in. I'll let you take it away.
No. No, I like all I could do right now is just like seethe in anger and sadness and mopiness. Like right now, I think about that game and I just like want to cry. There's no other way to put it. And in this situation, I was on the train. I was just, you know, following this game.
I saw that in the group chat. Why were you on the train?
I was in Grand Central, but you know, the reasoning and everything. I'm on the train. I'm sitting there. I have my AirPods in and I'm looking at the score and it's 7-2. 7-2.
7-2. Down. The Yankees are down to their last out with only one runner on it.
Oh, no, no, no. 7-2. It's top of the seventh, I think. No. Yeah, okay. It's top of the seventh. So I'm like, okay, last inning. Mets kind of have this in the bag. As long as Edwin Diaz doesn't mess this up again, I'm fine. Because, like, you know, I wasn't looking at everything. I wasn't looking at who was going in and stuff like that. I just kind of looked at the score and was like, okay, I could kind of.
I mean, I'd look and see up 5 with 3 outs left that you should win that game every time.
Yeah, 100%.
So no matter what team you are, you should win that game every time.
So the Mets are going to come home. They're going to win the first game. I mean, I don't know why I said come home, but I'm going to come home and see that the Mets win the first of the two. And then
at that point, the Mets have won 3 out of 4. They would have rebounded from Saturday's horrible loss, and they're back heading into the second game against Odubel Garcia's MLB debut. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
So this is happening. I'm on the train, whatever. I put my phone down. I'm just listening to music. I check the group chat, which I have on Do Not Disturb.
Yeah,
so
I
I'm
do
not
too,
looking at the note.
Shout out to Disciples of Mike Quick. I know some of you guys probably listened to the show, but we have to have you on Do Not Disturb. We talk way too much in that group chat.
No, just people talk way too much about politics when I just want
to
hear about how the Mets
We're not
suck.
Trying to listen to that. You
okay,
know who you are.
Regardless.
You know who you are. No,
we're not calling people out right now. We're not calling people out right now. So I'm not looking at the group chat, and then all of a sudden I open it up about 10 minutes later, and everyone's freaking out.
Was it tied yet, or was it like?
It was. It was 7-7. It was 7-7, and I'm like, "What the hell just happened?"
To which point, Anthony writes in the group chat at Kyle Keegan, "Great episode coming tonight."
Because you know what? I didn't know what was gonna happen. I thought that okay, 7-7, we're gonna go into extra innings.
Can we talk about it? Okay, so I left off in the summary on first and third, 2 outs, Yankees down 3. On the 2-2 pitch, Edwin Diaz spikes it, gets past Ramos. Thyro scores, runner on second now. So it's 7-5. That doesn't really matter, though. That really doesn't. 3-2, very next pitch. It was an inside fastball, like 98. Aaron Hicks hit the Yankee Stadiumist of Yankee Stadium home runs you can ever hit. A line drive to the short porch, first row, barely gets over the wall. And we have a tie ball game here in the Bronx in the final inning, down to their last strike. So Aaron Hicks, who, like I said, I've been very adamant of my criticism and my doubts for him as a player after we extended him. And this guy, as much as I give him, as much smack as I give Aaron Hicks, I can name quite a few times he's come up clutch for the Yankees the past 2 years. Tying it in Tampa last July, the crazy 14-12 game last year, the diving catch and the go-ahead home run in that game. He had that 3-run homer off of Verlander in game 5 of the ALCS last year that went right off the pole. And now this, unbelievably, biggest hit of the Yankees season so far, clutch home run. So, tie game. Chad Green, who blew the lead on Friday, comes in. And shuts the door, 3 strikeouts.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I know it happened, but like, no. I refuse to believe that that's just something that went on. And like, look, I'll read you through what I sent during that time.
Yeah, I'm trying. I want
to
look at the group chat.
So I found it. Steve Cohen needs to assassinate Edwin Diaz first day in office. That was the one thing I said.
I remember that. I remember that quote.
Then I said, at Kyle Keegan, fun pod recording tonight, huh? And then it was
a tie
game.
What did I respond to that?
You just said this is going to be a fun one. Now, at this point, it's tied. It's 7-7.
During this conversation, it was tied. I do remember saying that because I didn't want to be cocky.
And then I say about 2-3 minutes later, I'm on the train right now. Someone update me. And then all of a sudden, it's not very positive for me.
Okay, so I want everyone to remember that before this game, Gio Urshela was on the shelf with a day-to-day injury. Gio Urshela comes out with obviously the second inning, the second base rule, and he hits a looping liner into right. Conforto throws a bit up the line. Ramos misses the tag. Talkman, looking like an absolute stud running back, dodging the tackle, gets in. Yankees win 8-7, come back from down 5 with down to their final out. They win 8-7. Series tied on the weekend at 2-2. And, yeah, that's all she wrote. Yankees win 8-7.
And like,
what an unbelievable game.
My friend Rahil made a really good point.
Shout out to Kinger.
Yeah, shout out to Kinger. He said right now if the Yankees fans were in the stadium, it would be absolutely ballistic right now. And that's 100% true. Like, can you imagine if that happened?
If that fans were to happen in front of fans, Yankee Stadium, if it had a roof, it would have erupted. I mean, I've been watching Yankees baseball for my whole life. I'm 16 years old, and I can't remember a time. I mean, they've had a comeback down in the final inning. That improbable. Like, man, that's a crazy way to win and to lose a baseball game. Like,
this just shows that you can never trust any team that I root for.
And it comes down to Anthony's word of the week from episode 4 or 3. I forget which one it was.
Inconsistency.
The Mets just Frank the Tank up from Barstool puts it best every time he talks about the Mets. It's 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. That's perfectly describes this weekend with the 2 wins and then 3 losses. I mean, and we still have another game to talk about.
No, I mean, look, after this game, so this is the first game of today.
Yeah.
I text my cousin right after I see the final score, and I just say, I'm ready for football season.
Jeez.
God.
Yikes. I mean,
yikes is right.
That's just a brutal loss, dude.
There's no other way to put it. It's horrendous. It's a
brutal loss. Like, I'm not trying to rub salt in the wound here. I'm trying to reiterate, like, dude, you blew a 5-run lead with 2 outs with 2 of your better relievers on the mound. Like, say what you want about Edwin Diaz. Like, he's a good
sentence. You cannot say Edwin Diaz.
He has a track record of –
unless you say the word not in front of it.
He has a track record of being a good baseball player sometimes.
Nope.
Sometimes.
Not at all. Not in the slightest.
I think Luis Rojas screwed up in this game was letting him come out for the bottom of the 8th. That was the screw-up. Why is he pitching a second inning?
Edwin Diaz is the screw-up always. Edwin Diaz is a screw-up.
And it's funny, and this was my first thought when I saw Diaz's reaction. He smiled after he gave up that Hicks home run, just like how my boy Aroldis Chapman smiled after giving up the walk-off to Altuve to end our season last year. It was eerily similar. So
I think what you're saying is that the Yankees are going to be exposed for sign-stealing very soon.
No.
Is that the point that you're trying to put out? Is that what you're trying to say, Keegan?
If the Yankees were cheaters, Gary Sanchez wouldn't suck so much.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, speaking of Gary Sanchez, let's get into Game 5.
Game 5 going in, I was not happy, but obviously I still had some hope.
I don't think there was a single Met – actually, I'm surprised you say that, because according to Twitter, there was not a single Mets fan that had any hope they would win that game.
Oh, no. In terms of hope, I was just like, how
– optimism is probably a better term.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I knew we were going to lose. I had the feeling that something was going to happen where we were going to get screwed out of the final game. Because you know what? That's just classic Mets luck. But, you know, I kind of went in there like, can we rebound from this last screw up and come out of this series winning more than the Yankees? And boy, was I wrong.
I mean, okay, so this game was very similar to Saturday afternoons in that it was very, like,
sad.
Slow. It was slow.
Sad.
So it was Daivé Garcia versus Seth Lugo. And I know you have probably shared the same opinion as me. Why is Seth Lugo a starter?
Why is Seth Lugo in the MLB? He's the biggest weapon out of the
bullpen. And they made him into like an opener. Like I thought that was pretty stupid.
Yeah, genuinely.
Like, it's been like this a couple weeks now. Like a perfect example is like, I feel like the Yankees lose game one if Seth Lugo's closing it out instead of Edwin Diaz.
Seth Lugo as God. See, like I just hate.
I don't know why he's a starter.
I mean, this just always goes back to like Stroman opting out, Syndergaard not being able to play, not being able to re-sign Wheeler. It hurts. It hurts to see that happen because you're completely right. If Lugo was in the same situation that Diaz was, this would not have happened.
And, yeah, I feel like if the Mets are at full strength.
Mets would win and, like, four out of the five.
We can talk about this, like, because the Yankees also weren't at full strength. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah, obviously, but the Yankees haven't. The Yankees are playing as a Triple-A team with the amount of injuries they have.
Yeah, so.
And like, it's good that they have depth.
I'm just bringing it up because injuries are a part on both sides of the ball. That Seth Lugo should not be a starter for the Mets. I don't think it helps. I don't think it helps.
It doesn't.
I think
it
that
doesn't.
Because in those high leverage situations, Seth Lugo is a proven, like, strong MLB reliever. And I think that he has a better shot at getting the job done than Edwin Diaz.
It's just that they have nobody else. The Mets pitching rotation now without their main guys from last year, it's dunzo.
Yeah.
We need Bartolo Colon back. That's my thing.
Facts. The Mets should. Yeah, we'll talk about the trade deadline actually a little bit once we're done recapping the weekend and what we think the Yankees and Mets may or may not do. Or what we think
Mets aren't going to do anything, and you know
the
that.
The Mets should sell. That's what they should
do.
The
Mets should sell, but they're not going to. They're going to buy. No, look, I know exactly what's going to happen. The Mets should sell, and then they're going to buy way too hard on some aging veteran.
Yeah, because the Woodlands are going for that last hurrah.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
100%. They're going to grab that last aging veteran like they have done the past few years with either Robinson Cano or whatever and just have that same situation happen where, you know what, yeah, maybe it'll win them a few more games. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, especially this year. Let's say Mets make a playoff push and then they're going to lose first round or they're just going to miss it. And then that's it. That's the entire situation. Then next year, it's just going to be back at the very bottom of the standings.
Now, let's be very clear. I know you're in a lull right now, but Uncle Stevie is coming, and he's going to buy you better players.
So just calm down
for 1 second.
I hope so.
Let's recap this last game, okay? We got one more game to get through. I know
this is painful. You know how much pain you're pushing me through right now, Kyle?
Yeah,
you know how much pain I'm going through right now.
I was not looking forward to recording this episode 48 hours ago, and now I feel
shut up.
It's just the highs and lows of being the base.
Shut up.
Okay, so Davi Garcia lights out in his MLB debut.
Oh my God,
lights out.
Talk about great.
Talk about stepping up when.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, his only run he gave up was an error by Luke Voit, which sucks, but whatever. And the Yankees scored their run on a Tyler Wade solo homer in third. So it's 1-0 for a good portion of the game. Bottom six. It's first, like, they take Garcia, they put him out in the sixth, which I like. I like that they were trying to push him a little longer because his run that he gave up ended up being unearned anyway. Grounder to Luke Voit, error, which is a pain in the ass. That sucks because Luke Voit has been the Yankees' best player. So I'm not gonna criticize him because of how much he's been doing for the team lately. He's just been incredible. And then that's a two-base error. And then Dom Smith, the Yankees' Freddy Krueger, ties the game at one. So it's now – I think both teams went 1-2-3 in the seventh.
Yeah.
So Luke Voit got on base, but no one scored in the seventh. That's the moral of the story here. No one scored in the seventh. And go to the top of the eighth. Who was it that was pitching for the Mets? It was some rando because their bullpen is depleted. I legitimately forgot his name.
Mets bullpen?
Yeah, who was pitching? Drew Smith.
Drew Smith.
In the top of the eighth for the Mets.
Yes.
Drew Smith. I don't know who Smith is.
Honestly, you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah,
I believe that he just got off of IL. I'm pretty sure. No, they just called him up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but moral of the story is
because I remember him. He pitched against the Nationals like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the first game he didn't let up anything. The second game, I think he let up one or two runs, but he wasn't bad in the sense of like he was not reliable per se, but he was able to kind of come in and not be Edwin Diaz terrible.
Well, I think it's fair to say that in a close game like that, it's preferable that you have a guy not like Drew Smith pitching.
Yeah. I think what would have been ideal, I mean, this is obviously.
I don't know why they didn't push Familia a second inning. I was surprised they didn't.
That's what I'm saying. They should have had Familia in a much better spot that could have positioned the Mets.
Familia's
to not...
had his woes, but I feel like I trust him in a second inning over Drew Smith. Like,
Drew Smith is still
too young. I don't know
anything about Drew Smith. To be in that situation.
Yeah. So, Drew Smith walks Brazier on four pitches. Gio Urshela hits a towering fly ball to the track that gets two guys to tag up. And then the Mets force Aaron Boone's hand in walking Talkman. And the bases are now loaded for Eric Kratz. And this is what I was talking about earlier. They let Eric Kratz hit on Saturday in that big walk-off situation, and it was the wild pitch, and it didn't end up mattering. Today, Gary Sanchez pinch hits for Eric Kratz. And I don't know if you were looking at the group chat, Anthony. I'm pretty sure you were somewhere in there. But I was very, very upset that Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, you were talking how
– I was pissed.
You said, sigh, Sanchez is coming up again.
Yeah. Gary Sanchez has not done anything clutch in so long. He's just not been a good hitter.
Yeah, he definitely continued that streak tonight, right?
And shout out to Kinger for saying, Keegs, give him a chance. And I think I said, I'm trying to find it. I was like, no. I said, he's had so many chances. Incoming double play. Pesky goes, come on, Boone. Don't just swing. Walk. Please, Gary. Skip ahead a little bit. Oh, Gary Sanchez, by the way, he foul tipped two pitches right down Broadway in that at bat before he homered. So yeah. It's 2-2 now. Fastball up in the zone. Gary Sanchez, biggest home run in years, probably. I'm trying to think if he's done anything else.
Grand slam.
Grand slam. Yankees lead 5-1 in the eighth.
See, here's the thing. I turned on this game in the sixth inning when it was still 1-0. And I was like, okay, you know what? This is still positive. Right now, it's 1-0. Mets scored 1-1. Going into the seventh.
The pitching, all things considered, was pretty good this weekend.
I don't want to hear it.
It was pretty good.
It was okay. It was okay, but we lost the games. We lost three games.
So, yeah, Gary Sanchez.
I watched the Gary Sanchez
missile.
I watched.
Bomb. And I have been, like I said, I've said it enough times in this episode already. I have not been a big supporter of Gary Sanchez this year. And I will continue to criticize him until he starts becoming a more consistent on base percentage.
Well, hey, when you criticize him, he hits grand slams against the Mets. So.
The clutchest grand slam, probably the second clutchest hit of the year behind Hicks's homer. And 5-1 Yankees. But the bottom of the eighth was probably the most stressed I've been about a baseball game since, like, the ALCS last year.
You think?
Probably. I'm trying to think if there was a moment this year where I was losing my brain more than in that, like.
I shut the TV off after that grand slam. I didn't watch
so,
it.
I would have too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I would have too.
I was in my mom's bedroom. I watched that happen, and I just shut off the TV, and I left, and I went back into my room because I just could not.
Jonathan Holder comes in for the bottom of the eighth after pitching. I think he struck out the side in the bottom half of the seventh. He strikes out Marisnik, and then he walked somebody, and then yada, yada, yada. Dom Smith comes up with a chance to tie the game, and he gets an RBI single. Now it's 5-2. Now the bases are loaded with Wilson Ramos pinch hitting with the chance to win the game with a grand slam. And I thought, this is just poetic that the Yankees are going to blow a lead here like this and lose 6-5 and the highs and lows. It just would have been such a crazy day for that to all happen all at once. Luis Sessa comes in, shuts the door, change up. Gutsy pitch by Sessa with a 3-2. Swing and a miss. Yankees win. Yankees win the series. They take 3 out of 2 from the Mets after an abysmal day on Friday. probably the worst regular season day of Yankees baseball in a long time. To lose 7 in a row and get swept and walked off in your own house. What a response. Like, sucks for the Mets, but what a response by Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees. Like, I was complaining about the sense of urgency. I have a whole thread of tweets on Friday about how this team doesn't care. They don't believe. They're not. They're kind of just moping through the playoff. They're moping towards October, blah, blah, blah. And then they come out with their three best wins of the year. And, yeah, just beautiful display of resilient baseball by the New York Yankees on Saturday and Sunday. And if you want to add anything about how the Mets played on Saturday and Sunday real quick, Anthony.
I don't want to. I want to add myself to the – I don't know where I'm going with this. I just really hate the fact that I'm a Mets fan. That's all I could say. I think I need to, like, fill out a bandwagon form real quick just to hop on some other team.
And, you Uncle know, Stevie is coming.
No.
Uncle Stevie no. is coming. And I cool. shouldn't be saying that. I'm a Yankees fan. I'm being serious right now. I think that Steve Cohen's going to do great things for the Mets. And I don't think it's going to fall
100%. I think Steve Cohen right now can be the Mets savior if he's put in the right situation and he's able to do the right things. And right now, we got the first part of that. Right now, with the Wilpons actually having the ability to give him the team, it's a very big step.
Huge. So here's what I'd be worried about if I were a Mets fan after this weekend, and I'm sure you'll agree with me. The Mets are going to do something stupid in the next 16 hours and buy at the deadline because the Wilpons want to win a chip in their last hurrah. If you're the Mets, you have to sell, and you have to build up your farm system. The Mets have a bottom 10 farm system right now. Like, would you want to sell? Would you buy or sell?
I mean, at 100% sell right now. Well, you're in a spot right now. You have an incredible team for rebuilding. There's no other way to set, like put it. Right
there's
now, if you sell.
The Mets can part, yet keep their core together if they still think they can win. Because the Mets have a lot of good young players. The Mets have Pete Alonso, J.D. Davis, Dom Smith stepping up lately.
If they try hard enough, if they do the right things, they can be back in the playoffs in 2 years.
And Syndergaard and DeGrom aren't going anywhere.
Exactly.
So this is a good time for the Mets where they're not rebuilding, they're reloading, I think is what they need to do. Because they have a lot of the pieces, but they're not ready to compete yet because their depth isn't there. And they've yet to have a competent manager. And I don't know. I feel like Luis Rojas is not much better than Mickey Callaway.
Here's the thing. Right now, the Mets are 4 games back of first place in the NL East. Right now, they're 15.
Which is shocking. That's shocking. I think the Braves won tonight. So is it still 4? I know the Braves beat the Phillies.
I think it's 4. I might be wrong about that. But look, right now, Braves are 18-14. Phillies, 14-14. Marlins, 14-15. Mets, 15-19. If the top two
teams – Oh, damn, the Marlins dropped under 500?
Yeah.
Damn.
Top teams, if the top two teams in each division make the playoffs for the season, the Mets currently are 2 games back of a playoff spot, technically.
Thought it was a game and a half.
It's 4-2. So yeah. Regardless, so the Mets are in a spot right now where they should sell. They should sell at this deadline. But the Wilpons are going to look at this and be like, oh, we're only 2 games back of a playoff spot. We're only 4 games back of first place. We can push and make the playoffs right now, so let's buy. And they're going to make the same decision that they've been making the past however many years that screwed the Mets over. And
well, aren't they playing the Marlins again this week?
Yeah, so the Mets schedule for this –
I feel like the Mets have played the Marlins so many times.
I think you're right. I mean, what is
it? It just feels – I feel like every time we talk about the Mets, we're like, oh, they have the Marlins coming up.
So they play 1 game tomorrow. Then
is Rom pitching tomorrow?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
I think he is too because he didn't pitch this weekend.
So,
man, DeGrom, the Yankees got lucky that they missed DeGrom because their offense has been ass before today.
DeGrom playing in Citi Field, 1 game. Then they travel to Baltimore for 2 games, and then they head back to
Citi Field. Then they have the one more makeup one game against the Yankees.
Yes. And then after that, they have a 4-game stretch against the Phillies. And then, yeah,
we're in the second half of the season. The trade deadline is tomorrow. And if you're using this past weekend as any indication, this team isn't ready to contend, and they need to sell. Like, they don't need to rebuild. They don't need to strip it all down. They have some young players that they can build around and develop, but they're not ready to compete with the big boys in the NL yet. They're not with the Dodgers. They're not with the Padres. They're not with the Braves. They're not with the Cubs.
The Mets are good enough where they don't have to go through a full rebuild.
And the Mets can sell and still maybe make the playoffs.
Exactly. Like, right now,
once you get into the dance, you never know what can happen.
Oh, of course.
Wild card teams have won the last few years. The Nationals were a wild card team. The Giants were a wild card team twice when they won. You never know. It's not out of the ordinary for a wild card team to go all the way.
No, not at all. But I'm just saying, right now, I feel like the Mets are going to buy instead of sell, and then they're going to see this playoff. They're going to see the playoffs, or they're going to see a playoff run, per se, and it's just going to be another disappointment. Where, you know what, yeah, you're right. Not anything could happen in the playoffs. Anything could happen, in especially now with the weird 2020 situation that we're in. But I think the smartest thing to do right now is sell, go through a quick little, not rebuild, but
reload.
Reload, that's a good word. Reload, yeah, reload. Refurnish. And, you know, maybe, because look, the Mets can make the playoffs this season if they try.
Mets can make it even if they sell. But even selling, sell. Yeah. But buying could set the organization back a lot.
Exactly. Buying can be a huge risk for this Mets team because you don't want to end up in a similar situation where you've been in the past 3-4 years after the World Series loss, where it's going to be the same exact thing of just making it or just missing it.
Yeah, where they're
you don't want to go through that again.
Kind of meh. Yeah. That's
so not having one season right now where chances are now that there's a lot more teams making it in, you still have an opportunity to make it into the playoffs. And then being ready for next season where you'll be able to be an actual powerhouse and an actual team that teams don't want to come near, to be honest. I mean, this Mets team has enough talent on its roster post-COVID, hopefully. Untapped potential, young players, decent pitching when it's healthy. All you got to do is have better run support for DeGrom and better relievers and closers. So fix the bullpen, shake that up a little bit. Maybe, I mean, look.
And here's the thing about the Mets offense. I'll say this. There were most of the time, like, their top 7-8 is as good as anyone. Like, Alonso's batting 6. Like there's not like a lull moment in that Mets lineup. There's not like, all right, we get to chill for an inning because it's 7-8-9. Like, it doesn't feel like that watching them, honestly.
The Mets
are close, but they're not there yet, and this isn't the season for them to be pushing. It would be stupid for them to buy.
100%, I agree. So
let's talk Yankees deadline real quick.
Yes.
Was that what you were about to get to anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good. The Yankees, on the other hand, they lost 7 in a row. They have won the last 3, obviously. So we're on a little bit of a high for the Yankees right now, but like, I still think that they're in the middle of their championship window, and if the opportunity arises where they can get a Lance Lynn or a Clevinger or something like that, you have to be able to make that pay that price. Because when the Yankees' offense is healthy, it's as good as anyone's.
Oh,
we know that.
Yes, sir. One.
So, I don't know. To get a guy, like, they don't need another pitcher. Their pitching's been pretty good, actually. But I think just to put them over the top and to make sure that, like, a Dodgers or Astros or Rays or Cubs doesn't get a guy like that, like, that would be more of the idea in acquiring a pitcher.
I don't know. I think if the Yankees are going to do anything at this deadline, it should be for depth. It should be – I mean, you've seen the amount of injuries that they've had recently and last season and this season, and it's just been a series of unfortunate events where obviously you never want players to get injured, but just the fact that there's been so many so often, you're going to want to have another – not star, but someone that's decent enough to have a very important role on the team, where you don't have to give up an insane amount for. So, you know what? Yeah, they're obviously not going to trade for a huge star at this deadline. They're not going to make any huge, drastic moves. But, yeah,
surprised if they get, like, a big-time name.
No, 100%. Because the Yankees right now are in a position where you're not going to want to trade away all your prospects for a big name pitcher or a big name outfielder because they don't really need one. They don't need that kind of driving force to like help their team get over the edge because they're at there. But if they have another piece of depth, if they have another solid player that could bring in something to the team that they don't have right now, even if it just be not having an injury. I mean,
I'll make a prediction to something realistic but good that the Yankees could acquire. I think the best case scenario is a Gallo Lynn package from Texas.
I could see that happening.
I mean, Texas has said that they could trade Joey Gallo. I think, I don't know if he's going to be a free agent next offseason, but it's coming up. That would be just a rental. You don't even need to extend him. Get a nice power lefty bat in there.
Hicks, yeah, Joey Gallo would be a very good fit with the Yankees.
It's always good to have outfield depth and to get a lefty bat in there at Yankee Stadium. It's never a bad thing. So I think that the best case scenario, I don't think they're going to get Clevinger. I feel like that's a little unrealistic.
No, they're not getting
Clevinger. They're going to get Bauer, which is what some people have been saying.
If they get Bauer or Clevinger, I'll personally run to your house and drop you off a cake.
I don't think that'll happen.
Exactly. Exactly, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So a realistic hope for me before the deadline tomorrow afternoon, a Lynn Gallo would cover everything that they need. And then I'd feel confident that once they're healthy again, they can go on a run. So I think that's enough baseball for today. Before we close out, we'll recap. Maybe I have to talk about the Islanders. Otherwise, I'm going to get
quick little.
So they're up 3-1 against Philly. And let me get one thing straight. I do not like the Philadelphia Flyers. And I'll be honest, I'm rooting for them to beat the Islanders. I know you guys aren't going to want me to hear this, but I do. I don't want the Islanders to win. So, yeah, it's 3-1 Islanders in that series. They won 3-1 tonight. They won – what did they win? They won like 3-1 yesterday too, I think. Or they won 3-2 tonight, excuse me. So the Flyers are down 3-1. Islanders look to wrap up the series on Tuesday. I will say this one nice thing. Barry Trotz is an incredible coach, and the Islanders' depth and their goaltending has stood up to the task, which is something I was a little bit surprised about against Philly so far. So, 3-1 Islanders looking to make their first trip to the conference final in, like, what, 30 years?
Something like that.
On a Tuesday night. So, yeah, I guess I got my talking about the Islanders out of the way. Do we have any football? I know the Giants had their scrimmage the other day. Xavier McKinney broke his foot, which sucks. So our secondary – and O.J. Mayo's hurt too. So now our defense is not looking very good with the DeAndre Baker problem, which we're not going to talk about because it's stupid. It's not stupid that he's in trouble. It's stupid what he did. But, yeah.
It's a stupid situation, yeah.
Injuries on the Giants' defense, but Daniel Jones looks good. Barkley looks healthy. I don't know. We'll see. This is a learning experience here for the Giants. So
yeah, I mean, look, I think
you got any Jets stuff, or do you want to talk?
Yes, I do. I was going to bring up the Jets right now. So the Jets went through a very weird series of events this past week. So Gase takes Le'Veon Bell out of practice because he has a hamstring issue. Le'Veon comes to the press right after and says that he doesn't have any hamstring issues. His hamstrings are fine, and that it seems that he's a little frustrated with Gase. So then Gase comes out and he's like, yeah, we talked about this. I don't know what it is with this trust. So just that situation itself is a little iffy because nobody likes Gase out of any New York Jets fans. Per se, I mean, I'm sure 2% of all Jets fans like Adam Gase.
Who's more of a crazy eyes before Jared Hughes or Gase? Gase is more
Gase,
like,
Gase.
It's definitely Gase. 100%. I'm trying to be funny.
Yes, I know. But so in that situation, so Le'Veon is unhappy, we think. Gase is conflicted.
How many years is Le'Veon back on his contract? I know you signed him at a free agency, right?
I think it was a 4 years, 62 mil or something like that. So he's going into his second year right now.
Okay, gotcha. Well,
so there's that. And then all of a sudden, it gets announced that the Jets are trading for Kalen Ballage, I think that's how you pronounce it, from the Dolphins. So this is Gase's former running back. There's no need for this pickup because right now the Jets running back room is Le'Veon Bell, Frank Gore right behind him, who's been playing amazing.
Yeah, Frank Gore, who is great depth and probably as good a guy for as a backup in the locker room and as a player.
Oh, 100%.
And look, especially behind a guy like Le'Veon Bell.
He's been seen as very, very good in camp, like taking first team reps from Bell type good, which is insane because he's almost 40. But the beat reporters have been very, very high on him. Bell
has been a superstar running back in the league for almost 10 years.
So you got Bell at the top. Then you have Gore. Then they drafted a rookie. I think it was the third round, LaMichael Perrine, is just going to be a ball of potential. Hopefully the Jets know what to do with him.
And good to develop him under guys like Bell and Gore. But
not to mention former – and then kind of fourth running back, they have Josh Adams in their depth chart, who's solid, used to play for the Eagles, had some touches. Just a solid backup right now. I don't know if they're going to keep him on the roster once the season starts. But so just this pickup is very interesting. They only needed to trade a conditional seventh round pick for him, for Bilal. So I think this was just Gase kind of being shady. And obviously Joe Douglas is in charge of all this, the GM. But I think that was just kind of a shot at Le'Veon. And I don't like that. I don't like that there's kind of unspoken beef possibly brewing, especially with Le'Veon being...
You don't want to have, historically speaking, it's never a good thing when your star player and your coach have beef.
100%. Especially now because Jamal's gone. Le'Veon's kind of seen as like... not the leader of this team.
It's probably Darnold.
Yeah, but Le'Veon's a very big part of this offense where it's important. But here's the thing. So this entire situation happens about 2-3 days ago. And then today it comes out when I'm on the train that Kalen Ballage failed his physical. So he's still dealing with a hamstring issue. So right now, trade's off. He's going back to the Dolphins. They're probably going to cut him and he's going to hit waivers. Now, chances are the Jets are going to be able to pick him up. But yeah. Which is, I guess, is good because you're saving a seventh round pick. But that's also, he's going into waivers. Any other team could pick him up. And the Jets are very low on the waivers, of course, because they're absolute trash. But it's still a very interesting situation that I don't know. I mean,
we're 2 weeks away from the season now.
Yeah. And
so this isn't like what you want to hear coming out of camp. Dude, football season's going to be fun. Like, even if the Giants and Jets both suck again, which I hope doesn't happen. No,
football season will be very fun this year.
Football season is just always fun. And we got our fantasy league, and it's going
to
be a good time.
That's what I was about to bring up. Next week, based on what I'm going to predict right now, we're not going to have an immense amount to talk about like we did today with the Mets and Yankees.
We'll do more football preview next week.
We'll do some fantasy football sleepers next week. I'll bring in my picks. Keegs will bring in his. And it'll be a fun episode. We'll just talk about who we think is going to perform well this fantasy season. But
yeah, and we'll preview the Giants and Jets, and of course we'll do Yankees Mets review. But I mean,
barring any,
you guys aren't annoyed that we talked about them for like an hour.
Barring any big moves, barring any big news or anything like that, maybe anything at the trade deadline for the MLB,
or any Knicks stuff,
we'll see what happens. But in any situation like that, we're going to focus on football next week for at least half of our
We're pod. So close, COVID. Don't screw us up. We're so close.
I need football to thrive.
We need it. Dude, so, we're going to have all four major sports going. That's going to be sick.
That'll be something. I mean, I'm excited to see this end of the NBA playoffs. Right now, it seems like it's heating up. The Lakers only
made the plays last night. We finally have a game 7. We got a Nuggets Jazz.
Jamal Murray went absolutely off.
He's been going nuts. Shout out to my friend John. I talked about him last week. Jazz fan. Losing his mind right now. Nuggets and 7,
Mitchell
baby.
And Jamal Murray are absolute monsters. They're like, I wasn't too high on Jamal Murray because the Knicks traded – the Nuggets drafted Jamal Murray with the Knicks pick.
Yeah, I know.
The Knicks got that – the Nuggets got that pick from –
that was from the Melo trade.
Gallinari-Melo trade. And then the Knicks had some pick from that trade that they got Andrea Bargnani from the Raptors.
Listen, I don't regret the Melo trade. Melo – like, say what you want about Melo. He made me a New York Knicks fan. Like, he was – him and Jeremy Lin. That was my childhood.
Insanity.
Say what you want about Carmelo Anthony. He will always be – a New York Knick in my mind. So hopefully he gets his ring one day because he got knocked out by LeBron.
Yeah, and seeing like him at the end of the game last night.
Yeah, him, LeBron, sad. And him embracing, that was nice to see.
Yeah, and like I always love Carmelo. Like I had my dislikes for him at one point towards the end of his Knick tenure just because I kind of saw him as a cancer to the team and
just kind of wanted him out. But like,
but you know, how can you hate Melo?
Always, no, well, us, we're young Knicks fans. They've always sucked. So like, we're like, Melo's all we got.
Yeah, so you kind of have to put the blame on him. But I'm glad to see him playing well, at least. He had a really good game last night. Unfortunately, they weren't able to win. But without Lillard, they were still able to come close, and that was majorly in part to him and McCollum.
If he goes to the Nets this offseason,
I think he'll stay with the Blazers.
Undescribably.
I can't. I think he's kind of found a spot right now with the Blazers where.
Yeah, I hope he sticks around. For cheap. I like him with Lillard and McCollum.
100%.
Yeah.
So I think right now this is a good time to end off the pod. We've talked a lot about the Mets and Yankees unfortunate series. Unfortunate for me.
It was pretty fun. I liked it.
Roller coaster of emotions.
Plug the socials, Anthony. My Instagram and Twitter. Kyle Keegan, but the L in Kyle is a 1. So it's like Kaiwan Keegan. And then you, what's your personals?
Instagram, Anthony Evangelista 7. Twitter is Anthony EV7. Venmo Anthony. I mean, Venmo Anthony EV.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagrams and Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. And yeah, that's it, right?
Yep. That's it. So thank you guys for listening to episode 6. We'll see you guys next week, hopefully with more positive news as a Mets fan. Hopefully. So upsetting.
Yankees are going to be in first place by the next episode. No, just kidding.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Catch guys. You.